Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
World Cup 2022, obviously. We've been a long time waiting for this in one way, and waiting with trepidation in another way, because it starts this weekend. Qatar face Ecuador on Sunday. It's proving to be a controversial venue, obviously, for the greatest show on earth, even before a ball is kicked. Just today, FIFA announced a stadium ban on beer sales in a stunning policy U-turn. Since being selected in 2010, there have been frequent criticisms about the suitability of the location due to the high temperatures, the allegations of corruption, and persistent concerns about human rights abuses. There's a lot to unpick, so I'm joined by a number of speakers. I think Liam Brady joins us first of all. Liam, you're very welcome to the programme.
Hello there, Cormac.
I don't know if you're as conflicted by this World Cup, Liam, as I am. I don't know whether or when to start to enjoy it.
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, it should never be there. It's a PR disaster for FIFA, who run football all over the world. It's a PR disaster for Qatar. But the football will kick off on Sunday, and I'm sure once it does, then people will start to follow what's going on. Mm-hmm. Who's playing well? Who are the best teams? Who are the best players? As normal football fans will do.
Yeah, and I suppose that will happen. Or you're obviously concerned about the lack of human rights here as well, though.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous pick to take it to Qatar, but we all know why it's there. It's there because many FIFA officials were bribed, so that's why it's there. But that's been happening since probably 1970-74. You know, let's not forget that FIFA took a World Cup to Argentina in 1978 when the military junta was in charge, and many people were disappearing who protested against the military junta, just disappeared from the streets and never found again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
FIFA went along with that. We've had other controversial venues. You go to Russia in 2018 when they'd already invaded Crimea and taken it off Ukraine. FIFA have been a law unto themselves, and it's high time they were put in the spotlight, and maybe things will change with the fact that there's so much attention on their decisions that they've made.
Stay with me, Liam. Your old pal Ray Houghton is with us as well. We'll talk about the football, Ray, and we'll go to Doha in just a second. But I do want to get your view on Qatar hosting the World Cup. It's left a bad taste.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with Liam. I think he's absolutely nailed it as far as what's happened with FIFA over the years. He's highlighted cases from 78. You could highlight the fact when they were having the candidacy, when they were up for the presidency, should I say, and it was the two people in charge who were looking to get the number one spot. One of them said they'd give it to Africa. They voted for him. Mm-hmm. So you can see why there's been problems with FIFA for a number of years. There's no way in the world that we should be going to Qatar for this World Cup. They're talking about maybe around about 1.5 million fans going over to Qatar, and I think it's got a population of 3 million. So how are they going to cope with that and everything else that's going on? I agree, it's been a PR disaster for everyone.
Yeah, some of the football might be sublime, but it's the whole context is ridiculous. Stay with us, lads, for a second. Sarah's going to bring us to Doha, and we'll talk about football in just a second.
Yeah, indeed. We're joined by Sean Ingle now, who's chief sports reporter at The Guardian, who's in Doha. And some of the problems outlined there by Liam and Ray, Sean, it's proving very controversial before a ball is kicked. And even today, some news, unwelcome news, a ban on alcohol at the stadiums.
That's right. It came as a bit of a surprise to many fans, but it was coming because there's been definitely a distinct change in Doha's tone in the past few weeks. For the last few years, it's been talking about, we'll respect everybody that comes and so on. But recently, that has changed, and this is a sign, really. I think it's taking two fingers up to its critic, a few days ago accused the West of being racist about its criticism. So it's now basically saying, we're going to run the World Cup our way, and the critics be damned.
Some suspicion that this was the plan all along. It was just get everyone here and then do what we want to do.
I was chatting to someone senior in football who basically said, given the World Cup is so imminent, their attitude has now changed. The geopolitics around energy and the West's increased need for gas because of the war in Ukraine, it makes them think they're immune. So now, if someone criticises them, if someone attacks them, they hit back. And also they sort of feel that it's a Muslim country, they're conservative, why should alcohol be in the stands?
It's not just for it's not for everybody though, is it, that alcohol is banned? Some of the hospitality boxes, you can have alcohol, can you?
That is true, but you'll have to pay about €20,000 for one match for the privilege. So it is the very select few, and whether they are fans or whether they are corporate visitors, well, that's one for you to decide.
The real concern for me just watching from here would be if they're going to U-turn on the alcohol aspect of it, which is, it's horrible for people if they want to go over and have a good time and they've certain expectations, like that's bad enough. But then if they've given also all these commitments on respecting people, particularly the LGBTQ plus community, who may have gone over there from that community in good faith, having been given certain assurances, is there concerns that they might U-turn on that also, or that they might not get the respect that they were expecting?
Yeah, of course. And the thing is, there is no hard and fast law. No one, not FIFA, not the Qataris, have said, can you hold hands? Can a gay couple kiss? We just don't know. For years, Qatar has talked about trying to find a middle ground between its conservative culture and sort of, while also accommodating the sort of 1.2 visitors it's going to have from the West. But now it just seems like it's going to ignore that. And so there would be concerns if you're a gay person out in Qatar right now.
What's the atmosphere like? What's it like around there?
What atmosphere? Normally at World Cups, and the two lads you have with you have been fortunate enough to play in them. I've been to a few to watch and report. You have fans congregating, meeting. There's all a meeting of cultures and minds. I've walked down the Corniche, which is the downtown area of Doha, and I've seen the odd Welsh fan, and that's about it. There really is no atmosphere now. I guess a lot of fans will fly in late to games. Some suggestions that many will come in from Doha or the region, but there isn't the traditional atmosphere you normally get in the build-up to World Cup.
Because there's obviously a very grim background to all of this as well. Estimates of 6,500 migrant workers from India, Pakistan and elsewhere reported by The Guardian to have died in Qatar between 2010 and when it was awarded the tournament in 2021.
Yeah, I think that's part of it as well. But I think that a cost is another factor. I was chatting to an England fan today who's coming out for 5 days, and he said he thinks it's going to cost him £3,000. I mean, that's a lot of money. And I think, people want to support the country, they want to support the team, but they also want to have fun and enjoy themselves. And are they going to get that here in Qatar? I mean, that's an open question.
Yeah, and that's just my final question for the moment, Sean. Do you think when the football starts, it'll change? That people will just sort of get focused on what they're there for and maybe things won't seem so grim?
I think there will be a period of 3 or 4 days where there'll still be lots of news stories. What will happen in fan zones and queues, transport hubs and whatever else, because the Qataris aren't used to dealing with this. So I think there will be issues for the next few days. I would say, though, the stadiums are spectacular. Their special air conditioning means they'll play in sort of 22-degree heat, even though it's sort of 32 degrees out in the sun. So I think the football should be good. But it's just the rest of it we're not sure about.
All right, Sean Ingle, Chief Sports Reporter at The Guardian. Thank you.
Liam Brady and Ray Houghton. Let's talk about the football a bit. What are your predictions, Liam?
Normally, you have to pick, looking at the previous winners of the World Cup, they're usually South American or European. And I don't think anybody's going to win the World Cup this year outside of those two continents. So I would go for Belgium and France, maybe in the European section, and Brazil and Argentina, with maybe a stroke against Brazil and vote for Uruguay as an outsider. So I think it will be between those five nations.
And is your heart set on any of those? Messi with Argentina, for example. It'll be some way to crown off his career.
Yeah, I'd love Messi to win it with Argentina. He's been my favourite player for the last 10 years, 10 years plus. You know, it's been him and Ronaldo. And I wouldn't rule Portugal out of it. But I don't know whether Ronaldo is going to be a help or a hindrance at Man United. You know, I don't know whether he's going to expect to play every minute of every game, where perhaps there'll be younger players, better players. But Messi would definitely, you know, if he could win it, I wouldn't complain about that.
Do you reckon, Ray, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I've been a huge Messi fan for a number of years. I think he brings excitement to football. He makes the game look easy. I think he's a great mentor to the younger generation coming through about how you apply yourself both on and off the field. I'd have to say, though, just looking at the groups, and I was looking at Brazil's group as Lane was speaking there, Sweden, Switzerland, Cameroon and Serbia. I tell you what, that's a tough group. There's some very strong teams in that. So if they come through that group top, I would fancy their chances. I think they've got very good attacking players, and I think with the conditions in Qatar, you're going to need that quality, and I think Brazil might just have it.
Yeah, the condition. Do you remember in, I'm sure you do, playing Mexico, was it in Orlando, Ray, in 94? I think you were booked for carrying a bag of water. Is that right? Because there was some heat there as well. I mean, what's it like?
Yeah, there was. But it was interesting to hear there where, you know, they said about inside the stadium and the conditioning they've got there, it'll be down to 22 degrees, which, you know, would suit all the players, to be honest. That's not going to be too hot at all. Whereas I think in Orlando, it was round about 36 degrees centigrade. It was absolutely roasting. And yeah, you're quite right. I got booked for carrying the bag of water. But, you know, it's just who can see themselves throughout the number of games that they've got. There's a lot of matches they've played over the course of the month. And it'll be who's got the most quality and then the determination to get through it.
Yeah. Football's coming home, Liam.
Well, we hope so. We hope so. You know, it's a difficult World Cup, but FIFA are to blame for that. But we'll get on with the football, and I'm looking forward to seeing the best players in the world.
Kabir,
to win the World Cup.
When I say football is coming home, obviously I'm talking about
England, didn't you?
How far will they go? Do you think
England? Yeah, I think they'd be lucky to make the quarterfinals.
Do you think so? That'd be devastating, Sarah, wouldn't it?
Devastating. I'm more interested in Senegal. I got Senegal in the Office World Cup draw. I have a bad feeling that
Mane is injured. Mane is the star man in the team. I'm afraid you've drawn the wrong lot.
She'll sue the drawer, I think.
I'll have words.
But tell me, can we play this, right? Apparently, the anthems that you guys used to have playing for Ireland, we all sang along, of course, ole, ole, ole. Listen to this one, though. This is rousing. A pint and a bag of crisps for anyone who can tell me whose country's anthem is that for the World Cup?
Argentina?
No. Liam is out. Ray, it's up to you now.
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue.
That's Wales. Yeah, it is. It's Ima Ohid, and it's been adopted as the country's official World Cup anthem. It's rousing. But tell me about Wales, though, because they actually believe they can make some progress here, Ray.
Well, I'm not too sure. I was looking at the squad because their first game against the USA is on Monday evening. And I just see there's a lot of youngsters in it who have not really played at this level. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult for them. They've been so reliant on Gareth Bale for a number of years and Aaron Ramsey. And you just don't know if they're at their peak or they've just gone beyond it. So I think it's going to be a real tough ask for Wales. If they get through the group, they've done really well. England will be favourites and then it'll be the USA, whose form has been different recently. So between, I think, the USA and Wales who get through to the last 16.
In fairness, Liam, it does sound Argentinian. I'm sure you're both devastated you're not getting the pint of the bag of crisps. What about What about the player that's going to light up the World Cup? Because there's always one or two, isn't there? And we all remember Maradona and the different class goal or the hand of God, and that's the obvious example. But who do you think will really light up this World Cup?
Ray, over to you, mate.
Listen, I would say that there's you're looking for someone to come out of the pack at times. It's not always about, you know, the big name, whether that would be a Ronaldo or a Messi. Sometimes it's youngsters who you don't know about who come through and really shine at tournaments like this. I mean, there's the lad Bellingham, for example, with England. There's a lot going on his head at the moment as a youngster coming through, and he's not played that many games for England. But everyone believes he could be the star, and maybe the difference why England could go a bit further.
And maybe Mbappe, lightning speed.
Oh, he's an unbelievable player. I mean, he's someone, obviously, with France, that they're so reliant on his pace and the way that he plays. For midfielders, he's an absolute dream. You know, any time you got on the ball, he just makes a run in behind. He's going to beat most players to get to the ball that's played through. But listen, we don't know. This is the great thing about the World Cup and going to these tournaments. You don't know who's going to win. You don't know who's going to perform. Mm. Hoping that the best players play to their potential and the best teams get through to the later stages and the best team overall wins it.
Indeed. Look, Ray, it's nice to see Liam can still play a killer pass, isn't it? Okay, well, look, enjoy the football, whatever about anything else. Ray Houghton, Liam Brady, thank you very much indeed.